Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Isaiah said that he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. When you read Isaiah 53, you get a picture of what was intended for him. The iniquity of us all was laid upon him. Whether we knew him or not, God laid the iniquity of us all on him. And so I'd like to read in Luke chapter 22, verse 13 through 19. And this is at the time that the arrest of Jesus was drawing near, and now he has his 12, his closest, his inner circle with him, and he has things to say to them, many things to teach them and show them, but things that they need to hear. In Luke 22, 13, it says, "And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover." Now again, if you don't really know what that is, the Passover is the feast celebrating a death angel that passed over the homes of the Jews who had applied the blood of a lamb to the doorpost and lintel of their home. And the Lord said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over it. I will pass by." It is a feast now that they would keep at that time in the days that Jesus walked. It was where Hebrews would come to Jerusalem if it was at all possible. They would come there to keep the Passover. Israel had come out of Egypt on the first Passover night. The Passover was a night that they would always keep in remembrance. God said it would always be something for Israel to hold on to. In verse 14, it says, "When the hour was come, Jesus sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread." Now it was unleavened bread, which is basically bread without any addition. It's water, flour, maybe a little bit of salt. That's it. It's one of the simplest things to make that there is. There's really no ingredients. Flour, water, bake it. He said, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." This do. There's a responsibility, he's saying, to do. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." In other words, this is not going to be the only time that you do this. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he said, "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." And the thought I would like to just kind of keep in our mind tonight is that we must remember. We must remember. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray one more time before we move forward tonight. Lord, we thank you for what this week means. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made. We are thankful for the teaching that you give us, the word that you give us, Lord, to encourage us, to remind us, to help us keep fresh, Lord, in our hearts, the sacrifice you made for us. Help us tonight, God. And if we need it, encourage us, change us, challenge us, whatever it takes. Lord, we thank you for that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the blood of the Lamb tonight? Aren't you thankful for the sacrifice? So this first Passover here, Jesus takes the wine. You know, it's not like we've got tonight with everybody having their own little cup. They had one cup and would pass this around among themselves. Then he talked about the unleavened bread and he gave thanks for that and broke it in pieces. And he said, "This is my body, which is given unto you." there is, or given for you. It's unleavened, and when you study, you realize that there is a lot of symbolism in the Passover, from the first Passover, but even that they could not break the bone of the lamb. They could not break any bones of the lamb. And our lamb that hung on the cross, when they came to break his bones after he had died, they saw that he was already dead, but they couldn't break his bones. And they said, that's so the scripture could be fulfilled. Now the bone of his is broken, because he is the Lamb of God, the sacrificial lamb. And so there were no bones broken in his body. It is unleavened bread because his body had nothing added to it. He was not with sin. He was perfect. He was sinless. And so he was unleavened bread. He said, I am the bread of life. He was unleavened bread. Praise God. And he said, but this bread, my body is going to be broken. And and then he tells him, and by the way, whenever you do this in the future, you don't do it just for fun. You don't do it just to have something to do or just because everybody else is doing it, but you do it in remembrance of me. We must remember. And then he mentioned the cup as well, to remind them that this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Jesus said, remember. And we think, can anybody ever forget Jesus? And yet we know the scripture is full of times that he is reminding his people to remember. I know we get busy, and busy lives become forgetful lives. And Jesus simply wants us to remember. In his people, Israel, as they were getting ready to go into the promised land, they were warned by God. When you get in there and begin to eat the fruit of the vine, things that you didn't plant, and live in houses you didn't build, and take care of herds that you didn't raise, he said, when you have all these blessings and all these promises, he said, be careful that you do not forget me, that you don't forget me. And of course, you're like, how can we forget you? You brought us out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, fed us in the wilderness, and yet they did forget him, because they began to serve the gods of the land. Jesus said, remember. And that's a problem, you know, when we say, well, how can you forget Jesus? The problem is that we do. We do forget. You know, sometimes even it's just, you know, our memories, just over the process of time, our minds, sometimes people have diseases in their minds and it causes them to forget, but as you get older, you realize you don't remember as well as you did when you were younger. That's why you see old people doing crossword puzzles all the time. They're trying to keep what little brain they got left. But life gets busy, and that causes you to forget things. Sometimes you can be so busy you can forget something that was just told you that morning. I thought you were going to stop and do that. Oh, I got busy. I forgot. I do that. My wife, I apologize to her because I do that all the time. She'll say, get this when you go to the store. Yeah, I got it. I'll be running doing something else, and she'll say, did you get that? I'm like, oh, forget. You get busy. But we've got to be careful, because this busy pace of life will lend itself to more and more forgetfulness, and we will forget what Jesus has done for us. We forget where we might be without him, and we forget the price of our salvation. His crucifixion, his body was destroyed. His body was destroyed, and his blood was spilled. It was because, the scripture says, it was because of the great love that he has toward us that he died for us. I don't want to forget the price of my salvation. And it was not salvation was not provided at Pentecost. It was preached at Pentecost. It was provided at Calvary and through an empty tomb. Yeah? I want to make sure that I remember God. I don't want to get into the promise and have all these great things happening, then I forget the God who saved me. I think it was Peter that wrote, said, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I want you to remember these things. And I think the writer in Hebrews called out the people and said, call to remembrance the former days after you were illuminated, after you knew what God did for you. And even the Lord would tell one of the churches in the book of Revelation, remember where you are fallen from. Remember, bring to remembrance these things. Now, for many of us, forgetfulness is a problem. You know, I used to think I had a pretty good memory, and sometimes I think I still do. But some people have that photographic memory. Some people have that memory that they remember every detail about everything, and when I can barely recall the experience. My kids and my wife will tell me about things that happened, and they say, when Dad did this, that, I'm like, I have no memory of that. And I'm not just playing around. It's funny, but I'm not just playing around. I really have no memory of what you're saying. You're like, you don't remember doing it? I'm like, absolutely, I don't. I have no memory, no recollection of it. It happens sometimes. I would like to remember it because they all seem to be enjoying it. But I'm like, yeah, but I don't. I don't remember it. But, you know, one of the great things about social media, if there is such a thing as a great thing for social media, is that when people or family share a photo from a past family reunion when you were a kid or something, you know, something you haven't thought about, something you've forgotten, but as soon as you see the picture, you remember it like it was yesterday. And you can tell everything that was going on, what you were doing, where you were at. I can do that. When I see sometimes we'll go through photos and the stuff that you know, you've stored or forgotten a lot in your life. But when you see a picture, when there's something there for you to look at and to understand, man, it's like it just comes flooding back. You ever do that? And it doesn't just have to be a picture of something you do. I love vintage stuff, and I can look through pictures on my phone. There's these sites that have, like, the toys you grew up with. And, man, you see this action figure, and you're like, oh, I know what house I was living in. I remember, you know, everything about it. I remember what Christmas that was when I got that, and whatever it is. But you can remember every detail about it. And if you're like me, you'll try to buy it. I actually bought one of the first toys I ever had as a kid. I was probably 4 years old, four or five, and it was this toy, and I found it on eBay, and I bought it. I loved that toy when I was a kid. And I just bought it so I can look at it every once in a while and remember those things. That's just what we do. Things that I had forgotten about, but now I remembered it. I saw a picture. Me and my brother, like Will, we do that all. We text each other all the time. Do you remember having this lunchbox? Do you remember having this? All the time. The picture caused me to remember. And that's what communion is. Communion is a picture. It's not a pleasant picture. The picture presents horrible suffering. It's a picture of a broken body and bloodshed. And Jesus knew these 12 men that were with him very well. They had walked with him for about 3 years. He knew them, and he knew and knows how quickly they and we forget. So he says, do this in remembrance of me. I'm not asking you to remember each day of my life. I'm not asking you to remember all of my miracles. I'm not telling you to remember the Sermon on the Mount. But remember my broken body. Remember the blood that is shed. Remember my crucifixion. Jesus Christ and him crucified. But forgetfulness happens when we fill our minds up with other things. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. He needs to be the center of it all. And we don't need to be so distracted with the miraculous that we forget the greatest miracle, the sacrifice and the blood that was shed. We just fill our minds up with things and we peel away the pictures and notes that speak of God's goodness to us in the past. We forget because we find new things, new interests, new loves in this world, so to speak, a love for the world. And then we box up or we deliberately destroy the recollections we have of our life with God. Because the picture of Calvary does not fit with some of the things that we pursue. The cross isn't welcome everywhere, so it gets laid down. And it becomes helpful to forget. Because as we reach a point of finding a different relationship other than the one we had with Jesus, we find we can enjoy whatever it else is we want to do if we don't think about Him. Hard to enjoy doing wrong when you can't get your mind off Jesus. No pleasure in that. And as we so forget, it reflects maybe even a dissatisfaction we feel with our life living for the Lord. It comes because of the acquisition of different idols that we bring into our life, the idolatry of people we hang out with and cater to, the idolatry of success, the idolatry of money, accomplishment, education, whatever you put before God. And we look for and we find gods that are more appealing and less demanding. Lord, help us not to leave our first love. When we forget Calvary, you stop praying. When you forget Calvary, you lose your praise. When you forget Calvary, you have no conversations with Jesus. When you forget Calvary, you backslide. And Jesus said to his 12, his closest people, this do in remembrance. You would think that they would not ever have to be reminded to remember. But he was telling them, I don't want you to backslide. I don't want you to stop talking with me. I don't want you to lose your praise. Do this every time you do it in remembrance of me. If you were to go into a cemetery, you walk past countless memorials, headstones. They have a purpose. They tell people who is there. They tell the period of time in which they lived, and they communicate why a name is worthy of memory. It is erected so that it can demand attention. And communion is not only a picture, it is a memorial. It is like a headstone, it is like a landmark. And what I want to do tonight for us is help us remember. I want us to remember that the scripture tells us that God purchased this church with his own blood. That we have not been redeemed with corruptible things, but we have been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. I don't want us to forget that it is the blood and only the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. And he didn't go to the Red Cross and have some drone so it could be spilled out through a process of ease, but it was beaten out of his body. It flowed when they pierced his side with that spear. It was a hard and horrible thing that he had to go through. He suffered. It's so easy to say, well, Jesus saves, and not think about what that really means. What encompasses that, how that they beat him and whipped him and wrenched that crown of thorns down upon his skull and humiliated him, punched him in the face, spit on him, mocked him. And he did that for us so that we could be saved. In this picture of the broken body and the blood, this communion is given to us so it can just drive home what Jesus did and that it is worthy of remembrance. just as the headstones, it tells who God manifest in the flesh. When he was 33 and a half years old. And then it says, why should we remember him? Because he was wounded for our transgressions, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Paul would later write to the Corinthians. Paul was not with the 12, but listen to what he wrote to the Corinthian church. He said, for I have received of the Lord. I'd love to heard that conversation that Jesus was having with Paul, telling him about the last night he spent with the 12. I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. It was something that was common in the church, something that they didn't forget, something that on occasions they would gather together to remember. Maybe they did it every Passover. I don't know. But he said, as often as you do it. If you're doing it, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Paul would write to the Romans to remember, it was while you were yet sinners that Christ died for us. Always reminding us. He wrote to the Ephesians, when you were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. When we couldn't do it, God did it. Always reminding us that there was a sacrifice. Always reminding us that there was a Savior. Always reminding us what he went through so that we could be saved. And so when you think about that night, just get the picture, because Jesus knew exactly what this represented. Think about what he must have been thinking as he broke that bread, realizing this was how his body was going to be treated. He was holding the bread and he was holding the cup, his body, his blood. And this was something that these 12, there had been from the time of the first Passover, there had been so many Passover feasts. These men were raised in homes that celebrated Passover. There was nothing new about that. And Jesus is looking at his disciples, and he knows them well, and he just a few moments earlier had conversed with them about their own self-absorption and why they would not wash each other's feet, and so he gave them an example and washed their feet. He knew about busy lives. He saw the future. The next feast after Passover is Pentecost. He knew what was going to happen at Pentecost. He realized what was going to happen beyond that. That these men that he was entrusting with the gospel, those closest to him would be distracted by success, by persecution, by perils, and by problems. He knows that even the most intimate followers are likely to forget. And if those 12, those men, those people that saw and handled the word of life, if those men that watched him die on that cross and then watched him walk into the room where they were at resurrected, if those men might forget, then how much more are we likely to forget if we're not intentional about keeping this in our life? He's saying, don't forget me. Keep me fresh in your mind. And he gives them a picture, something to help them to recall it. He raises the loaf of bread, points to the wine. It's a picture. Remember my broken body. Remember my blood that has been shed. I'm not asking you to remember the church past. I'm not asking you to remember a favorite preacher or pastor or someone you hold in high regard. I'm not telling you to recall a spiritual high point of your own life. Jesus said, when you do this, do it in remembrance of me. in remembrance of me. If those that are going to distribute the communion cups would do that at this point. It's easy in this world today. Sometimes we think that, you know, I've got one, brother. We think that scripture, that some of the scripture that's preached is being hard. Love not the world, neither love the things that are in the world. But it's not to try to keep you from having an enjoyable life. It's so that you don't get entangled up with the affairs of this world. It's so that you don't get distracted to the point that you forget to be who you are, filled with His Spirit and baptized in His name, washed in His blood. For you to be who you are today, He had to suffer. He had to die. And He felt it, agonizing, torture, hanging for hours on that cross while they walked by and shook their head at Him, while they mocked Him, laughed at Him, cast lots for His clothes. He sees all this happening right at His feet. But you know, there's an old song says, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. And He saw far past what was happening right then. He knew. He knew what this sacrifice was going to bring. And so as you get these cuts, as everybody have, that's going to partake, you want to go ahead and get those things. Sister Sade, you come. She's going to lead us tonight. Before we move forward with the communion, I ask her to come and just lead us in a prayer tonight of repentance. I think we taught on that Sunday morning, and I think it would be great tonight for us to, let's stand together if you can. Let's stand together tonight, and let's pray with Sister Sade tonight. She leads us in this prayer.
Praise God. Thank you, Pastor. Pastor has preached recently about bringing fruit, right? That is meat for repentance. And I've just been thinking about that today. The Bible talks about how we don't do this lightly. This is a somber moment when we remember the body and the blood that was spilled for us. And so I just want you to get a picture in your mind. And oftentimes, when as much as we can try, you know, just imagine your Lord on that cross, stripped. The Bible says He was unrecognizable. And He did that for us. He did that for us. So I'm going to ask that we would pray with humility, that we would come and we would bring our hearts. The Bible tells us that we should rend our hearts and not our garments. Let's rend our hearts right now before Him. Bring every bitterness, every hatred, everything of the flesh, every carnality, everything that would separate us, because that's what sin is, everything that would separate us from Him. Let's bring that before His feet right now. Father, 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 Abba, oh, my dear Abba, oh, I come before You tonight, oh, I am in, oh Lord, my fleshly frame, God. Oh Jesus, and I present my flesh before You. You said in Your word that there is no good thing in this flesh, God. Oh, and I present it before You tonight. Come on, talk to your God. You're repenting right now. You're rending your heart before Him. Father, oh Lord, I rend my heart and not my garment, Lord. Anything that would separate me from You, God, oh, I put it at Your feet, Lord, tonight. Oh, every every work of the flesh, God. Every bit of pride in my heart, God, I lay it before you. Oh, God, my own plans, my own loves, God, that are not you, I lay it before you. I lay my love for the world before you, God. Things, oh Lord, of carnality, I put them at your feet tonight, God. And I repent, Lord. I repent, God. I remember so I can return unto you, Lord. For it is in returning, oh God, and rest, Lord. Oh, it's in returning, God. We return to you tonight, Lord. We return to the cross, God. We return to the ways, oh Lord, your ways which are higher than our ways, your thoughts which are higher than our thoughts. We return unto you tonight, Father. Oh, hallelujah. We give you our heart. We give you our mind. We give you our spirit tonight. We lay it before you, and we thank you, God, that you are a forgiving God, that you hear us. You are faithful and just, God, you said in your word. God, for when we have cried unto you, we have repented, Lord. You are faithful and just to forgive us, Lord. So we thank you for your forgiveness tonight, God. Thank you for washing us by your word, that you would present yourself, God, a bride that is without spot or wrinkle, God, so we can meet you, Lord, in the air, God. Thank you, God. We give you thanks, Lord. Oh, if you thank him tonight, will you just give him a hand clap of praise right now? Thank him for his forgiveness. Thank him for his love. Thank him for his mercy. Oh, we give you thanks, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thankful for the gift of repentance. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. So if you'll get your cups opened and ready tonight. And I know this is nothing like that supper where they were at with him, the single cup of bread, but this is what we have right here in our hands. It is the evidence of God's ultimate act of God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ, this transcendent God that be incarnated himself. Praise God. So that he could have a body. It says in the scripture that he prepared a body that would be broken and blood that would be spilled so that we could be saved. In such a busy world, we have many distractions. We rationalize, we justify, and it's so easy for us to notice the unimportant. And then we are plagued by this paradox of quick motion and little thought at all. And Jesus says to remedy that, remember, remember.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.